Brian and Jarrett. Brian and Jarrett.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Brian and Jarrett Talking.
Welcome back to another episode.
Welcome to another... as you may be able to tell if you listened to the last episode, we film episodes back to back, and we've been drinking. So I kind of feel like I am welcoming people back.
I hope there's some listeners out there who will come in at episode 15.
This will be 16.
Is it?
Yeah, 15 was what we did a few hours ago.
We have been drinking. Although I would appreciate if someone's like, I'm not going to listen to anyone unless they've had 16 podcasts. That's the number I come in on.
Yep.
And by this stage, they've tuned out.
Yeah, of course. Most of them have.
They've already, they've seen what we have to offer.
Which isn't much.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
But welcome. You are listening to Brian and Jared Talking. I'm Brian.
I'm Jared.
And we are talking here on a Friday night.
We should have called this one Brian and Jared Drinking.
Yeah, it could. We could.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. No, we probably, it will change the thing on the domain. And we're not going to.
Don't do it.
Fuck that.
People respect us for what we've done before. We don't want to.
They will respect or disrespect us for what we've done. And I'll take either.
So what's happening? We're here. It's Friday nights, edging towards midnight, really, isn't it?
Yeah, here, well, where we are, I don't know who's listening or where they're, what time they're listening.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I wanted to start off with just a bit of discussion, sort of serious, but, yeah, mostly serious.
Yeah, serious is good.
You know the show Breaking Bad, of course. For those who don't, it's about a high school chemistry teacher who starts selling meth, essentially.
Yep, starts selling meth, and then starts in ad agencies in the 1950s and cheats on several of his wives for a series of time.
And then he gets three wives and moves to Utah.
And then I think he moves to Baltimore for a while and starts a drug ring in which there's a series of sort of police investigations. There's sort of wiretaps.
Yeah. And then he actually gets the acting bug and he gets an entourage and moves to LA.
Yep.
And then, he makes it quite big for a while before he once again falls back into drugs.
Yep. And stars in some sort of like big sort of fantasy epic set in like an ancient land where there's various people fighting for like a throne. It's like a Game of Thrones sorts.
Before finally moving back to Washington, D.C., running for president and actually becoming the Veep or vice president.
Yeah.
Now, Christ. So that's every show that's on HBO, everyone. But no, it's about a guy who sells meth. He sells not only meth, but the most pure meth around. And it's
hottest.
And he has
the hottest meth on the street.
He's got the best meth, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And I've tried...
Blue. What's it called? Blue?
I think they just call it blue because it is blue. That is another one of the points I'm trying to make. Mm. Before the show actually aired, because his meth in the show is like 99% pure.
Mm.
Before the show aired, crystal meth purity in Mexico and its bordering US states was 37%. In the years since it's aired, the purity has gone up to 88%. And they've also actually started selling blue meth in the US.
Hold on.
Since the TV show started, people have started demanding higher purity meth and the meth from the show.
Can I poke a hole? Yep. In your own. Are you saying that the reason that
meth is getting better
is not due to the fact of time and the 6 odd years in which...
That was over about a 2 year period, by the way. The year before it aired and like 2 years after it aired.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like it's improved.
It improved over about a 2 to 3 year period, over double the purity. And the blue meth popped up. Blue meth is around because of the television show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, me personally, I'd never done meth until I saw Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I've never broken bad, but then I saw Breaking Bad and I broke bad.
I saw Breaking Bad and I thought, this is a great show. Mm.
I saw Big Love on HBO, and now I have three wives.
Mm.
Like I needed three more headaches.
Is that show still going?
No.
That was good. I watched that for a series. I watched all of it. For some reason, I never followed it up, but I liked it. Mm. It was good.
I initially didn't want to watch it because I already had a series that I really liked.
Mm.
But then that series showed me that you can love more than one thing at once.
I'm trying to work out what you're going for.
I was going for that. It's about polygamy, more than one thing. You had three wives.
I thought it was a reference to something else.
No.
Personally,
what do you think it was a reference to?
I don't know. I thought it was some other show. No. We've been drinking, Jared. What are you?
I don't need no stinking rules.
Don't do multi-layered things. I just watch anything that has Bill Paxton in it.
Yep, Apollo 13.
Yep.
That could also be the name of a Mormon show if his character's name was Apollo.
Yeah.
He had 13 wives.
There you go.
They didn't think about that.
No.
This is why I need to work in the movies.
This is why that show isn't going anymore.
Yeah. Five seasons, kill the main character. Spoilers.
Yeah, I guess with... maybe the people who were doing meth in New Mexico were just like, holy shit, you can get stuff that good?
Yeah.
What
happened was people were doing meth and people were watching the show, and it was the ultimate marketing tool for meth, because while I can't say I know anything about meth, I'm sure if I watch that show enough... I mean, the show's opening credits show the chemical formula for methamphetamine.
Yeah.
It's taught me something about meth. It's taught me a lot about meth, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean...
It's taught me never to do it, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. So, therefore, you would think that it would maybe turn people off doing meth, or the quality of meth going down.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Pretend there's a party where people are smoking weed.
Yeah.
Pretend there's a TV show where someone deals weed, but it's bright pink. And it's like, okay, they're dealing bright pink weed in Hollywood, whatever. Stoners are at a party and people are smoking green weed, which is the colour I assume it is.
Mm.
And someone brings out a bag of this fluoro pink stuff. No matter what, everyone's going to want to try the fluoro pink stuff because it's from the TV show and it's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, like that's kind of your point of it being, a certain percentage of purity versus it being like a color. Kind of different.
Well, they both go ahead. I've got the stats. You'd have to be on meth to deny them.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I mean, sure, the purity must be going up generally, but to jump from 37 to 88 in a couple of years, and maybe what I read was just bullshit.
Yeah, I actually did listen to, because there's, for any fans of Breaking Bad out there, I think I told you about this one, there's an actual official podcast put on by Vince Gilligan, who's the creator of Breaking Bad. He does it with the actual one of the editors of Breaking Bad each week, and they have several guests on. And there was one episode where they were discussing one of the montages, because like Breaking Bad's famous for their like montages of cooking.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah,
I love
they're awesome. Montages. They're fantastic. And I remember the editor was talking once about the kind of restrictions on how accurate they could be in depicting the creation of it. Because obviously the researchers of the show and the way they'd film it would be somewhat accurate, but in terms of it kind of being I don't know if it's like a moral guidebook thing, or just in general, like restrictions on TV, it's like certain parts of it you can't show because it would be seen as educating people in, you know, cooking their own meth. And yet, they were actually discussing that and saying, like, certain parts of it couldn't be shown, and there was just, whilst there being a creative style to the way they were editing, there was also sort of...
like an ethical
thing of, how they had to put it together.
Well, this... recently, there was the bombing at the Boston Marathon.
Mm.
They used pressure cookers in backpacks with shrapnel and whatnot. And all the, like, the cable news networks were going into a lot of detail. They were like, they used pressure cookers with fertilizer and whatnot. They were pretty much telling you all the ingredients you needed to make a bomb.
Right.
And reporting it as news.
Of course.
But then recently we had a thing just last Thursday.
Sorry, I said of course before, like, I was implying that they were actually trying to find ways of, like, giving information to people. I wasn't implying.
Oh, no, I was saying...
I said that very sarcastically.
I thought you were saying, of course they were, because they're shitty news sources and they're bad journalists.
That's what I meant. But I wasn't implying that they were actually trying to give information to prospective terrorists to try to make bombs.
But we had a thing last week in... I think it was in Sydney, where a kid had a homemade bomb in his house. It was discovered somehow, and... the cops had to come in and some squad blew it up. And the news were very... They said, now, we can't tell you how he made the thing because we can't be specific about how he made the bomb. But he did find these ingredients on the internet, on terrorist websites, on how to make bombs. And to me, that just told me, well, you didn't tell me how to do it, but if I just Google how to make a bomb...
Yeah, right.
And it's... Even though it doesn't take a scientist or a genius to find out this stuff online, don't try and take the moral high ground and say, well, we're not going to tell you, but he Googled it. Like,
but also, like, there's pretty much the assumption there that you can find anything online.
Yes, you can.
It's like if someone, like, you can see the most heinous things online.
Mm.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, MySpace. Ugh. Yeah. Been there lately.
Yeah. Is that still around?
Yeah, it's new MySpace now. Justin Timberlake
bought
it. Isn't
that like every month is the new MySpace?
Yeah, but now you get emails from new MySpace.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. Justin Timberlake either bought it or bought a huge stake in it for like $35 million.
He lost a massive bet recently.
I got some land he might want to buy for $35 million if he's going to buy that one.
Yeah.
It's a bit pretty much focused on music a lot more now,
hasn't
I think.
Hasn't it been that way for years, though?
Like, yeah, but now it's new MySpace. You're talking about old MySpace.
Yeah.
This is JT.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake's not going to make me. I actually kind of dig Justin Timberlake. Mm. Despite the majority of characteristics he has, I hate in people.
Like what?
Just that kind of...
had sex with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
All that money, good looks, charm.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, like...
Fuck him.
A lot of those things, but also just generally, like, kind of being... a Hollywood celebrity who's a pop star who
came from a boy band. He was in the boy band, but he had to pay his dues with that producer that had sex with all of them.
What?
There was a thing, a producer of all the boy bands back in the day, the Carter family, like the Nick Carter and the Aaron Carter family. Apparently the producer, or one of the producers, the people involved, was very inappropriate with all of the kids. He's in jail now, not for that, but for tax reasons. But
is that tax in inverted commas?
No, it's literally tax reasons.
Taxing.
There are stories that came out from there are stories that came out from the Carter family, which are pretty awful. And he looks exactly how you imagine he does.
And what JT was?
JT
in
was
with
one
them.
Of the bands he managed or produced or whatever.
Like NSYNC was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you'd have to assume that he got molested or there was sexual misconduct against him as a child, so he's allowed to be a bit of a dick.
You have to assume.
Well, Aaron Carter's mother said it, so who am I to judge her?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're Aaron Carter's mum, you're making excuses in any way you can, right?
She found out I got a crush on her.
Where were we going? We were talking about something.
We were leading up to... Someone was about to make a segue to the human centipede, I think.
Yeah, let's head
let's
that
do
way.
It. The human centipede. Do you want to explain the human centipede?
Everyone knows. Have you seen this human
centipede? I have not, but I'm holding out for the third one.
I've seen the original human centipede.
Mm.
And the classic. It's not worth explaining to everyone because everyone knows what the human centipede is.
I'll just say for those that don't. The human centipede is about a man who takes three people and...
It's a film.
It's a film.
We should specify it. If no one knows...
The human centipede is a new Australian political party who's...
if no one knew what the human centipede was and you were just like, look, I'll clarify it, and didn't mention that it was a film, someone could be very confused.
The human centipede... Yeah, no. The human centipede is Kim Beazley, Susan Boyle and Rosie O'Donnell. No, for those that don't know, The Human Centipede is a film about a man who takes three people, binds them together, sews them together, mouth to anus, to make a six-legged human tripede, I guess.
Yeah, despite the title.
Yeah, it's very misleading.
Yes.
Anyway, that film came out, people were kind of shocked, and he made a second one.
A second movie titled Human Centipede 2, full sequence.
Mm-hmm. No, long sequence?
Full sequence.
Oh, that's right, full sequence, which was
despite
about...
Despite the fact that it was still not really a centipede by this point.
Actually, the third one was six. It shouldn't be tripede, it should be hexapede or something, because it's the six legs.
First one involved three people.
Yeah, but six legs.
Yeah,
so six legs. Hex, yeah. Anyway,
Second movie.
Second film was about a man who saw the first film and thought, that looks like a good idea, but I can do it better. So he took 12 people and strung them together that way.
Still not a centipede.
Correct. Keep in mind, the director of the set of the films, he said, we only created the first film to get people comfortable with the idea, so that when I did what I really wanted in the second, you know, it would, I can get my story across more.
Right.
Anyway, you think he'd be done. He's got a third film coming out. Any money, you can guess what the title is. Human Centipede 3, final sequence. Of this film, he has said, this will make a film which can which will connect to the other two, making one continuous film of about 4.5 hours long, making it similar to a centipede. Now, I don't. I guess he means that they can all be joined together, not that centipedes are 4.5 hours long.
Does that mean this last movie has, what, like 30, so therefore...
You wouldn't believe what this last film has. He also stated that the third film will answer some lasting questions, will have a strange, happy ending, and will be the last of the series, as he does not want to do any more centipede films. Because I think when you make three human centipede films, you've made enough, really.
You'd think by the time you've made a movie called Human Centipede 2, full sequence.
But remember how he said that the second film... The first film was just there to get people used to the idea so we could do the second film. Mm. He said the second film will make the third film will make the second film look like a Disney film. He said, it's going to be my favourite. It's going to upset a lot of people. Now, centipede, 100 legs, 50 yeah. people, right? Apparently, the third film is going
Hold
to...
Hold on. 25 people.
That's 50 legs. Sorry, centipede, 50 people, 100 legs. Do hands count?
Yes. Well, they're on the ground. It's ass to mouth.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
that's, then you've ruined my previous Hexa thing. Either way, he's throwing all the rules out the window because apparently the third film is going to feature a centipede with a length of 500 souls. And they're all prisoners.
He takes
over a prison and strings together 500 inmates.
By him, you mean that... Like,
wait, that's a millipede. He's got a millipede there.
Well, he's missed out
actually,
on...
Actually, two millipedes, because we're doing hands as well.
On a marketing opportunity there, but he should have called it a human millipede.
Or two human millipedes joined together.
So...
What he's missed out on, he could have had about 14 films in between this... He could have done 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people. He's just jumped to the end of the line.
I think for the benefit of all of us, I've seen the first movie. It's terrible. But like, of course, a movie like that you would expect to be terrible. But like, even on the level of just bad movies, it's bad.
Yeah.
The second one got banned in Australia as well. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
There was a chance to go see
Julie Gillard.
The star of it was doing like a screening and Q&A at a place in like Annandale, so like very close by in a small sub, like kind of small inner west suburb, at a very small theater. I wasn't able to make it to that one. I did kind of plan to go just out of interest, but I mean, like, of course, what are you going to do? You've made two movies, which the premise is. Basically, you saying that there's going to be a bunch of people who have been sown ass to mouth to people. So, of course, for the third one, you like the only way you can put asses in seats is by saying, "Yeah, we're going to put
mouths in seats."
Yeah, exactly.
When you say the star of the film had a Q&A, who was the star? Was the star the guy at the front of the centipede?
No, he was the guy who in the second film and. I'll clarify again, I haven't seen it, but he, like you mentioned, he was a fan of the first film. So it was like a meta sequel in which the guy who creates the centipede has seen the first film and therefore recreates it. So it's kind of like, have you ever seen Blair Witch 2?
Yes.
The Book of Souls?
Now, I don't need to say too much here about hype. About a hypothetical on what a fourth film could be, but if it were a documentary, someone who has seen the trilogy and then actually decided to make themselves a human centipede. He saw, as in he saw the second film, he thought this character saw the film and made a centipede.
Yeah.
And then it's a real person. Someone does it in real life.
As the third film?
The fourth film. As in this happens. The guy is making these three films to make it happen. We're going to find out that Tony Abbott, not the politician, Tony Abbott has seen these films and loved them so much that he actually makes a human centipede.
Yeah.
This could be a new story in the next year or two.
You're hoping that this is a real thing?
No, I'm saying that this is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because the guy who tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan, he saw Taxi Driver. And in Taxi Driver,
Jodie Foster.
Not the guy.
Oh, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro tries to kill the president. And then does he try to kill the president?
I think it's a senator who's a presidential candidate like that.
But then the guy who tried to kill Ronald Reagan, he tried to do it to get Jodie Foster's attention because he saw the movie and got fucked up.
That makes sense, yeah.
So someone's going to see the Human Centipede trilogy and just do it. And then they might be Tony Abbott, not the politician.
Just some guy named Tony Abbott, who
might be a member of the Liberal Party too.
He could be.
He could be the leader of the. He could be the opposition leader.
He could be the Tony Abbott.
He could be the next Prime Minister of Australia wants to create a human centipede of 500 Australian citizens.
All right, you want a hypothetical? I got one.
Go for it.
Tony Abbott gets elected.
Yep.
Which he is basically, yep. It's going to happen.
Is this Tony Abbott the politician or Tony Abbott the human centipede maker?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
That's for you to decide. Tony Abbott, the leader of the Liberal Party in Australia.
Yep.
Soon to be Prime Minister of Australia.
Yep.
Come September.
And this is all hypothetical?
Oh, hypothetical.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Because there's no way he's going to be Prime Minister of Australia. Mm. He becomes the Prime Minister of Australia.
Yep.
In September. He, on a landslide victory, he starts his prime ministerial...
His ministry,
that's the word. And about 6 months into it, it's revealed that he has indeed created... He has been... the creator of a real human centipede.
Yep.
What happens?
Well, that depends. Did he repeal the carbon tax or not? And what did he actually bring the country to surplus?
You best believe he repealed it.
What happens realistically if Tony Abbott, the leader of the opposition party and next Prime Minister of Australia, it comes out a few months after he's elected that has created an actual human centipede, he'd probably be sent to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, Christ, I can't even imagine the reality of that.
Well, no, you get sent to prison, so therefore he's not the Prime Minister of Australia, right?
Shame on everyone. Everyone would have had to know in Parliament, there's no way you can have a human centipede. There's no way that Tony Abbott could have a human centipede and people not know. Yet in this hypothetical, he actually does.
Do you think... okay, say...
Say Tony Abbott has a human centipede. Where does he have it? Is it his front bench and people just haven't noticed?
Kirribilli House.
The Lodge.
The Lodge. He's got it. And look... Okay, he comes
out... I want to know what the Speaker would have to say about this. Anna Burke would be seeing red.
Well, okay, he'd be, I don't know, what's the equivalent of impeachment in our political system?
Dismissed by the Governor-General?
Yeah, that, he'd get done.
And she should take a long, hard look at herself as well. We'd have to rebuild our country from the ground up. That would be our September 11.
Or is that what this country's been missing all this
but
time?
But then again, they do say...
A Prime Minister who's willing to do the things that people aren't normally willing to do.
They say you get the government you deserve.
Yeah.
So I say, Australia, take a look at yourself. You've elected... hypothetically, a man who literally has a human centipede at the lodge.
So yeah, come September, the decision is in your hands, listeners. If you're willing to have a prime minister who's open to various different policies, including, for instance, combining up to
500
up to 500 people, connecting arse to mouth, you know, that's your prerogative.
One thing though, I did a little bit of research on politicians and their opinions on things. I haven't seen any comments made by Julia Gillard opposing a human centipede at the lodge. So I don't know what we're going to get in September. Are we going to get a human centipede no matter what? I think we're either going to get human centipede full sequence or human centipede final sequence.
I think that's almost the perfect analogy for this upcoming election. Do you want full sequence or final sequence? Mm. It's true.
That was not Julie Gillard, the politician. That's another hypothetical one.
Of course.
Yeah, not the one that... That's not the politician either. That's a different one.
Again, imagine if that happened.
Yeah.
Are we going to bleep that one out or...?
Yeah, do the bleep...
We haven't done that for a while.
Yeah.
I'll bleep it.
Actually, you say something that needs a bleep.
Julia Gillard's... died from... How about that?
Do you think there's people who work at the zoo... who get off on animals? There have to be.
What do you mean?
In the sense that there's obviously people.
No, I don't think there is.
No.
What do you mean?
Okay, in the sense that there are certain institutions in the world which are known for having a lot of access to children, and there are certain similar institutions are known for attracting people who would like a lot of access to children.
Sure.
Catholic Church is a church that I was baptised in. That's irrelevant.
Full stop. New sentence.
New sentence. Catholic Church
is an institution.
Yeah.
Back to the original topic.
Yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. Talking about the Catholic Church, but back to the kids. What I'm saying is there's... some people are attracted to professions for reasons other than just, you know, wanting to do what that profession does.
Yeah.
And there are people who do have sexual attractions to animals. The zoo, if you work at the zoo, you probably get a lot of privacy with the animals. Some people, you can't say it doesn't exist, that there are people who become members. And I'm talking about the people who feed them and bathe them and, you know, some of them have a thing for animals, which is sexual misconduct.
I think you are making quite a large generalisation with your statement there.
Some people. I'm not saying 50% of the people that work at Taronga Zoo and Tony Abbott, not the politician, have a thing for having sex with animals. And I'm not saying they have sex with them, except for Tony Abbott, not the politician. But... and I'm not talking about the person who takes your ticket. I'm talking about, you know, the people who care for
them. I know, but like it's like...
Or vets, even.
It's like you're saying anyone who works at...
I didn't say anyone. I said some.
Some people, okay, the term some, again, kind of saves you from any sort of criticism, because as long as one person does it, you're vindicated.
I'm saying there's 7 billion people on Earth, there's one of everything.
Okay, then in that case, I completely agree.
But do you think that there's more people who work in zoos who are attracted to animals sexually than there are people who work in libraries who are attracted to animals sexually?
Good question.
At least double. At least triple.
Libraries, yeah, sure.
Ratio, like if you do the ratios for libraries to zoos and whatnot.
Yeah. In that specific scenario, you are thinking...
Do you think there's more people who work in libraries who are attracted to books sexually?
Yeah. Yeah, books on... there's books on animals, anatomy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you go.
That's where the ratio would come down. I got followed by Denny Hines on Twitter recently.
Oh, lucky you.
Do you know how I know it's the real Denny Hines as well?
Cow.
Well, she's posting about Denny Hines gigs, and she only has 67 followers. And it is the real Denny Hines.
Why is she following you?
Because I followed her first. because I read in a news article that she only had 66 friends, 66 followers. So I became 67. And then she followed me back. I'm like, oh, you're a desperate girl.
What do you mean you read in an article? Is there an article in like, hey, ha, like...
It's a TV blog about a possible future celebrity apprentice. And it's like, Jenny Hines may be back, but with only 66 followers on Twitter, she won't have much of a celebrity grab.
How long has she been on Twitter for, though?
Long enough. She's longer than... She's only got 66 followers. It's not like she's been on there for ages.
Hang on. Have we got more than that on Brian and Jared Talking?
Yeah. We got 78 at least. We have okay. more fans than Danny Hines.
Okay.
Well, I've got fucking 300 followers on Twitter, and she's got 66. I got more followers than she has tweets.
I do truly know how pathetic that number is then. if we've got more followers than her.
I got more friends than she does. I've seen more friends in the past month in real life.
I know, but like Twitter followers yeah. is... That's
yeah, but different. A lot of them are fake as well. A lot of them are bots. They're not all real people.
You've done a lot of research into this.
No, I know, because I'll tweet something about, oh, blah, blah, podcast, and it'll say, Podcast Australia is following you. Yeah. That's not a real person who gives a shit about what you say. No one gives a shit about Danny Hines.
But you've looked up Danny Hines' Twitter.
Only to follow her so I could say, hey, I want to see what she tweets about.
So, you being one of the few real-life people that have access to her on Twitter...
I could send her a direct message.
You could.
I can send her an email. Yes. That's it.
You gotta do it.
I'm getting banned by Danny Hines tonight, everybody, and...
No, don't get banned.
No, I'm getting banned because you know what I'm going to say.
Can you organise some sort of shout-out? For us?
Maybe she would do a thing with us over Skype.
She wouldn't.
We get over 300 downloads every episode. She's got 66 fucking followers.
Don't shout the numbers.
I'm doing it for Danny Hines. Just oh, so fuck. No. Oh, she's going to hear this.
Yeah. No, she's not. There's absolutely no fucking way that Danny Hines is listening to the 16th episode of this podcast.
True.
And is judging
Do you
us
think
in any
we
way.
Could... Okay, how about this? If I could get Danny Hines to agree to appearing in a Skype or phone segment for the show...
Can we just
sorry.
Clarify the last time that...
I almost had Vanessa and Rossi on the show. Her management were bullshit.
It's not that one. The last time... actually, it's not the case. It's not the last time me and Jared made a bet. But Jared made an outlandish claim circa... 2007. Would you agree?
Yeah, about then.
Where we were sitting at World Bar in King's Cross.
No, we made the bet in the Hillside Hotel. It was about the World Bar.
Okay. Yes. Okay. It was in a separate incident. But it was Jared had the idea that he could get myself, himself, and I on.
Finally, I came first.
On a bill for World Bar as DJs. And
we had a popular radio show. Don't call me on the fact that I called it popular. Don't call me on that. Give me that at least.
And to clarify things when Jared said to get us to DJs, in case you haven't gathered from our lack of ability to kind of do anything.
Ever.
We don't know how to DJ. And Jared said, I could get us on a World Bar gig. And I said, sure. If you can get us on a World Bar gig, I will prank the person of your choosing. If you cannot get us on it, you prank the person of our choosing. I don't want to sort of blame your lack of effort on it, but I believe you sent one email to the staff of World Bar saying, hey...
Okay.
Me and my mate want to DJ
Who
one
Who do you
night.
Think has more on at the moment? The staff at World Bar or Danny Hines? Staff at World Bar aren't following me on Twitter. I got Danny Hines by the balls.
Needless to say, we did not get it. I think there was a 1 month. You had a month to do it.
I didn't have long. I had like a week, I
and
think.
I think...
Well, I was drinking when I made the bet, much like I am now. Listen, I'm getting either Danny Hines on our show or I'm getting her to ban me from Twitter. I'm getting one or the other.
I have a very good feeling which one it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's easier.
She's... Oh, I hope she doesn't hear this. Denny. There's imagine no Brian and Jared and Denny talking.
Imagine how pathetic Denny Hines must be if she has listened to us at this point. And she's heard me say that.
Imagine how pathetic she is if she hears that. And then she's just waiting for the phone to ring. And she's like, I'll do it.
Yeah. Look, these guys have been banging me out for about
imagine
5 minutes.
Imagine if I check Twitter now and I've got a tweet from her.
Yeah.
She's listening live.
Yeah, because we're live at the moment, guys.
Mm.
But we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. We've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Is anyone at this point? Congratulations.
No. Yeah, congratulations, Denny. You'll be on the next episode.
It's past midnight.
Fuck.
I'll pass the bedtime. Thanks very much for listening to us, everyone. As always, you can find us on iTunes, Facebook, Podomatic.
You can find Denny Hines on Twitter. Yep. Please follow her on Twitter. She doesn't have many followers, and I know it mean a lot to her.
Or you can find her in next week's episode, which will definitely happen because Jared said it will.
I'm getting Denny Hines on.
As always, you can leave us a review through.
No, not as always, as never. Because they never leave reviews because they're petulant.
No, but they've always had the ability to. Mm. I don't want to discourage them from saying that you can't do it because you can and you should.
You can and you won't.
You should.
Pretend we're... No, Denny Hines has more followers on Twitter than we have reviews. No, I'm done.
That's true. And that's an insult to all of you.
And us.
Good point.
Good
Thanks
night.
Very much for listening, everyone. We'll catch you very soon.
Brian and Jarrett. Brian and Jarrett.